Coming up this hour, how and why do we see a small elite group of pastors getting wealthy off God's people? How do they do it? Mark Frankovich is founder of Cult Watch, and he will explain this hour as we discuss how pastors get rich. Join us for this hour of the Janet Mefford Show.
The Janet Mefford Show.
We need God's help, and we need it more than ever.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
We've got this big, messy, tough democracy.
And we like it that way.
God's going to ask you, what did you do about my son? I sent my son to take your sins. Did you accept him or did you reject him?
You never, never, never outgrow your need for the gospel.
That's what it's all about.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you so much for joining us. You know, most of us have wonderful, godly pastors who don't earn nearly as much as they are worth to us and to the body of Christ. They work so hard, sometimes for very little money, as they seek to shepherd their congregations faithfully for the Lord Jesus. But here's a question for you. Why is it that we see the flip side of that? Why do we see a small minority of pastors appearing to get genuinely rich, big time, off God's people, driving around in really expensive cars, living in huge, expensive mansions, flying around in luxurious jets, taking fabulous vacations? And have you ever stopped to wonder how it all works? How is it that on the one hand, you have these small, faithful pastors who are not paid very much, and yet they're faithful to the Word of God, and then you see these really, really wildly successful pastors who are making big bucks off the flock? What kinds of techniques do they use? Well, Mark Frankovich knows how they do it. He is founder and director of Cult Watch. You can go to their website at cultwatch.com, and he wrote an incredible article we're going to talk about this hour. It is called How Pastors Get Rich, and he says that by knowing some of the secret techniques that a small number of pastors use to transfer money out of your pocket into theirs, you can save lots of your own money and better invest it for the kingdom of God. It is great to have Mark here. Mark, thank you for being with us today. Welcome.
No problem, Janet.
Thank you. Now, tell us a little bit, because some people may not be familiar with your group, Cult Watch. Give us a little overview of what you do.
Cult Watch is a Christian organization. We don't belong to any one church. We're a parachurch organization. In other words, we've been around since 1989. Our primary aim is to warn people about the cults, and we help both Christians and non-Christians. So we'll talk about the techniques that cults use to manipulate and control people, which we call mind control, and everyone's interested in that.
Yes.
And with our Christian brethren, we'll talk about the doctrine, about the important facts of Christianity to protect them from false doctrine, which, if you look, apparently, I've never checked it myself, but apparently 25% of the New Testament in some way is warning about false doctrine, about false practice and so on. So that's the tradition we come from.
Well, wonderful. You do great work, and I loved this article. What drove you to address this subject of what happens, how pastors get rich? What led up to this?
Basically, we saw cultic techniques coming into the Christian church. Of course, it happened in the 70s with the shepherding movement, and once again, it went into the pseudo-Christian cults like the International Church of Christ in the 90s. But in the, at the turn of the century, we noticed it coming into other Christian churches, and we dubbed this movement the Super Apostle Movement. It's based around, it's another name for it is the New Apostolic Reformation. So we have these pastors who all of a sudden have decided that they're apostles, and that you have to obey them, and you have to, and they basically lord over their flock. Mm. Now, part of what they do is they extract money from their flock. They basically turn their Christian congregation into a marketplace, and they extract money from their flock. They also use, I'm sure we're going to talk about it, the erroneous idea that Christians ought to tithe, and they take this money in, and that's part of what they do. So How Pastors Get Rich at cultwatch.com is aimed at addressing that, at basically setting people free. There are a lot, especially in these economic times, there are a lot of people who are very burdened. And these pastors will tell you that unless you give money, God won't reward you. They actually ask for money to be sent to them for spiritual rewards, healings, blessings from the point of view of you becoming having more money and so on. And so How Pastors Get Rich is aimed at really inoculating and exposing these techniques, because once you know you're free of them, you can see what's going on.
Right. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into detail about all the different ways you can tell how pastors get rich. But, you know, you say this is really big business, and I think it really is. We see this here in the United States quite frequently. And yet, when you see the guy in front who's living this luxurious lifestyle, the people who are supporting him don't seem to be getting equally as rich. Now, why would that be?
Well, they often will push the dream. And this is it's important to talk about the overall pattern of how this works. In John 2:13-14, Jesus says is throwing the money changers out of the temple, and he says to them, "Get out, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" Mm-hmm. And this is what these people have done. And we're trying just to really, if you can understand that concept of it being a market, it actually, the whole technique actually comes from the area of multi-level marketing.
Right.
And I'll just mention that a bit, because it's really important about understanding how this works. You see, multi-level marketing, they tell you that if you sell toothpaste and then you get people under you, which they call their downline, or your downline, selling toothpaste and take a percentage of their cut, then you can become rich. And how they do that is they say, look at our leaders, see how rich they are. And by doing the same things that we're telling you about, selling the product and so on, then you can become rich. But the thing is, it's a lie. Those leaders became rich by selling dream-promoting wares, books, tapes, DVDs, seminars, and conferences to these people. So they promote one thing, and then they actually get rich another way.
Wow. Well, Mark, we're going to come back right after this break and get into more details about how pastors get rich. We're talking with Mark Vrankovich from Cult Watch. We'll be back on the Janet Mefford Show. Seventeen past the hour on the Janet Mefford Show. We're talking to Mark Vrankovich. He is founder and director of Cult Watch. You can find them at cultwatch.com. He put together a great piece on how pastors get rich. Now, that does not refer to the majority of pastors who are out there faithfully preaching to their congregation, shepherding the flock, and getting paid very little normally for that task. It is very important duty that these pastors do. I'm talking about these very elite pastors who are out there in their fancy cars and kind of peddling the dream to these unsuspecting people in their congregations. How is it that they get so rich? Mark is telling us how. You mentioned before the break, Mark, the multi-level marketing pattern, and yes, sort of went into the details about they're selling this dream, but the way the dream is accomplished is basically on the backs of the people you've promised the dream to, right?
Yeah, it's a bait and switch. So they will tell you that you can become rich this way. Basically, no one becomes rich that way. In the Christian church, the dream is the prosperity gospel, which basically comes down to the idea of obeying the pastor and giving as much money as they tell you to give. And if you do that, then God will just hose blessings on you, money, everything that you could possibly want. And, I mean, if you just think about it for a moment, it's a complete con. That isn't the gospel.
Right.
And the reality is that people become very poor that way. Just the same as in multi-level marketing, most of the people, there was a study done in Canada with one major multi-level marketing set up there, which where people, I think it was 99.9% of the people lost money.
Boy, it makes you sick. It's just so shameless what goes on. You mentioned, too, selling things. This is a big part of how they get rich, books and DVDs. I mean, there's a lot of money in that.
Oh, there is. It's a, I mean, if you think about, you know, they'll have these conferences where they'll hype them, and you have to go and get this amazing DVD of the leader. And in a way, you're looked upon, strangely, in these churches if you don't buy the leader's material.
Hmm.
It's almost a part of actually getting up in the leadership of growing in prestige. And so you get this material, and everyone's buying them. Often it's tax-free, of course.
Sure.
There are reports of people just shoveling cash into the back of their cars to after these conferences, you know. So it is. I don't know if you've ever seen that documentary, Ma Jo.
No, I have not seen it yet, but I've heard about it.
1970s. This guy, he was the perfect, on the face of it, Christian preacher, evangelical preacher, but behind the scenes, He didn't even believe in God, and he exposed everything in this documentary. And we have people like that in the church today. And I think we certainly have those people who are deliberately doing this. We also have people who have been seduced by this, and they kind of want to serve God, but at the same time, they have compromised their values and actually are exploiting their flock.
Gosh, well, you talk about the books, and I just laughed when I was reading this section of it. You talked about the first product is the leader's book, often ghostwritten and fraudulently claimed to be authored by the leader. I mean, that's so true. And then you say many of these books are below par. Like bad business books, they have one good idea, if that, and then they're padded with motivational sayings and anecdotal stories of how the leader obeyed the dream, and so God hosed him down with wealth. I mean, you've described so many Christian bestsellers, it makes me really, really sad to think about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the way they promote movies these days. Often it's not the best movies that get out. It's the ones who are marketed the best. Not when I say the ones that make the most profit, the ones that marketed well. So they've got the marketing down. They know how to pressure people into buying these books. And so, I mean, our advice there is to, you know, check on Amazon, see the reviews and buy something if it's actually genuinely good.
Good. Oh, good suggestion. I think you're right about that. Also, the DVD thing I thought was interesting because you were talking about Christian pastors, for instance, who are paid by their churches to prepare the sermon, obviously, and deliver it. And then some of these guys take that particular performance and sell it back to their own church members, sometimes for a healthy profit. I mean, how often does this go on?
This is fairly common in these sorts of groups. Now, we're not talking about the, you know, you can buy the DVD and the money goes to the church.
Right.
Maybe for the reproduction or a small donation. But we're talking about them being paid to perform, to actually teach, and then taking that teaching they've been paid to do and actually then selling it to the church and to the other churches they visit. And that's, you know, really a double dipping, I think, very not honest at all.
Well, it's not honest. It's unethical. So, I mean, if you're in a church like that or you see that sort of situation, what sort of recourse do you have? What do you recommend people do?
Well, I'll tell you what I really like about the States at the moment, where you are, because, of course, I'm in New Zealand. I don't know if people realize that.
Yes.
Maybe the accent gives it away. But if I really like what's going on there with the Tea Party.
Yes.
I mean, that small government, it's an ideal. It's, you know, it's the American way, really, and it's the way it should be. And what we need is a Tea Party for the church. We need individual Christians to actually say, no, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not supporting this sort of thing. You know, I love the Lord. I want to support good Christian works, but I'm not going to fund or give free labor to these sort of things. And the other thing that really needs to happen to really knock this on the head is these churches, the accounts, the books, they have to be open. You have to be able to see detailed accounts about where all the money has gone. If your church doesn't allow you to see detailed accounts, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's a charitable organization. It's a non-profit group. There is absolutely no reason the books shouldn't be open and totally transparent.
I completely agree, because if they're not willing to do that, you know there is something wrong and there's something they're hiding. But, you know, a lot of people have bought into this idea, Mark, that, you know, they'll stand up there and say things like, touch not the Lord's anointed, and, you know, you shouldn't question God, as if they're equal with God. And that gets people very confused if they don't know the Bible very well and are Bereans and can see just because somebody claims to be of God doesn't mean that he is.
Oh, exactly. I mean, think about it. Who did Jesus get angry at? He didn't get angry at the prostitute. He didn't get angry at the Roman rulers in Israel. He got angry at two people. He got angry at the Pharisees. He got angry at the money changers. The Pharisees were putting themselves between man and God, middlemen between man and God. They were lording it over people. And the money changers, of course, were making a profit from the Lord's house. Here we have these people do both of those things.
Oh, you're so right. Does this go on in New Zealand as well? You had mentioned before you're in New Zealand right now. It is so amazing that we can talk like this. You've been so far away.
Yeah, I'm just imagining you're in Texas, aren't you?
Sure am, yep.
Yeah, and so you're wearing a big cowboy hat. You've got cowboy boots on with the big stirrups, I imagine.
Not exactly, but I love those guys. I love the ones who do.
Oh, so the cultural stereotypes aren't... Okay, well, anyway, so where were we?
But we can go with that if you want me to. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm wearing a big 10-gallon hat right now.
Oh, I know all Chinese people know kung fu. I know all Irish people are actually drunk. That's
right,
makes
and
me
you've,
feel much
you've,
better.
You've probably got a sheep right there, right? A whole flock of sheep by you.
Thousands of sheep in my backyard, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, what about the conferences? You had touched on that before. A lot of these conferences that they have, they kind of put them out there as, if you really want to know what God is doing, you've got to be at this conference. And these can be very expensive. Yet people are given this guilt trip. If you don't show up, you're not going to be part of what God is doing.
Yeah, so your spiritual standing with God is based on how much money ultimately you give. And so if you don't go to these conferences, if you don't support the vision of the church, and et cetera, then there's something wrong with you. It's actually something called character assassination, very common in the cults, where basically it's not that maybe you have a valid reason not to go. Actually, there's just something wrong with you, and they always make you feel like there's something wrong.
Wow.
So the conferences are hyped. They are very expensive, and the way that they make money from these things is that they'll have love offerings, and they'll sell their books and tapes, and they'll have special revenue flows, other revenue flows, and they'll have formal payments, of course, on air. And so often these speakers will make a lot of money at these conferences. And it's same with, it's just taken from the world of motivational speaking. This is how, where these conferences come from.
Right, like a Tony Robbins with a spiritual twist.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of money, and that's, you know, and the pressure is intense to go.
Gosh, well, and they go on speaking circuits. You talk a bit about the Christian speaking circuit. This is another way that some of these guys can make big bucks. They sell their products, as you mentioned. They take special love offerings, and they get all kinds of perks and sometimes excessive honorariums. As you mentioned, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a reasonable amount of expenses being covered if you're going to go speak somewhere. But they really make an awful lot of money. Do people realize this, though, how lucrative the speaking circuit can be for some of these guys?
Well, I think some people are starting to realize that the reality is, in the economic situation, a lot of people are hurting. They're going, hang on a minute, what's going on here? How come these guys are so rich and pressuring us so much and making us feel so bad for not having what we used to have? And they're actually starting to think about it. I also think, you know, people reading how pastors get rich, it's, you know, it's gone around the world. A lot of people are really interested in it because I think it really hits a nerve. It really does reveal how these people do, how these people extract the money.
Right. And I'm so glad you're, I mean, you must be the leader of the Tea Party for the church, Mark. When I read your article, I just went, yes, yes, yes. I'm so glad that somebody is out there saying this, because you're led to believe by some Christians that if you ever look inside the church and say, this is wrong, this is unbiblical, this is degrading to the flock of God, then you are somehow speaking out against God himself. And just the opposite is true. You are really standing for the truth. And
you're noble.
You're doing the right thing, not the wrong thing, by pointing this out.
Acts 17:11. It is a noble thing to do, a healthy thing to do. So, but, you know, as for me being the leader of the Tea Party for the church, the real message here is that the individual Christian, it's not anything to do with leaders. It's the individual Christian who needs to actually vote here with their pocketbook, who actually needs to protest. Some of these pastors, they haven't really thought about this. Some of these guys can actually be turned just by, away from the dark side, if you like, simply by understanding where this comes from and how this is the complete opposite to what Jesus taught. I mean, Jesus didn't come to earth and say, hey, build massive cathedral-like buildings and get really rich and that sort of thing. I mean, Jesus avoided wealth. I mean, what you need to realize, I mean, myself, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool capitalist. You know, I think capitalism is a great economic system, but it's not appropriate for the church. It never has been. That's not what the church is about. And so the idea of making money from God's people is abhorrent. As Paul says, you know, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for a profit. These people were back in Paul's day. They've always been with us.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because that's it's one thing to make your living and to get a decent wage for being a pastor, but it's not supposed to be a Ponzi scheme. And somehow it's a shame that so many Christians put up with it. It is a shame that more people don't look at this and say, there's just something wrong here. There's something really wrong.
Well, it's more than wrong. I mean, the reality is that this, there's so many things wrong here. For example, it's wasting the money that God's from God's people. This money is going to into building massive buildings rather than for the poor and widows and all the things that Christians were known for doing. Mm-hmm. And the two main things it's doing is it's destroying Christians. Christians go into these environments and they're basically milked for money. And then once they don't have money or they realize what's going on, they're discarded like rubbish. Mm-hmm. And The reality is that they go, well, if that was Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. The spiritual damage that's been done to Christians by these groups is tremendous. It's such bad fruit. And on top of that...
Mark, hang on 1 second. We've got to run to a break, but we'll find out the second point when we come back. Mark Vrankovich from Cult Watch. We'll be back after this.
Christian Radio's fresh and insightful voice. This is the Janet Mefford Show. Janet wants to hear what's on your mind, and she's waiting for your call, toll-free, at 800-343-9282. That's 800-343-9282, or online at janetmefford.com. Once again, here is Janet Mefford.
It's such a fascinating discussion with Mark Vrankovich from Cult Watch, talking about how pastors get rich. He's written a very popular column on this that's making the rounds on the internet. He's in New Zealand right now, and he's joining us live as we're discussing some of the ways that some pastors are making big bucks off the flock of God that is their charge. Yeah, had to go to the break there right in the middle. I apologize, Mark, but you were discussing the effects that these sorts of techniques end up having on Christians, and it was very true but sad that this ends up really destroying a lot of people who buy into this and then are disappointed and can't live up to what they're supposed to, according to these elite pastors.
Sure. It destroys the faith of many. I mean, and the other aspect which we're about to mention is that from the point of view of witnessing, I mean, of course, one of the major purposes of the church is to spread the gospel, right, to reach to the unsaved. It gives completely the wrong impression to the unsaved. They now have gone, and in New Zealand, they've gone from thinking of Christians as the people who help them, the people who look after the poor, who do the things that Christians used to be known for, and now they're known as greedy and gullible. You know, I mean, all they can talk about is money and that sort of thing. And it really poisons evangelism. So it destroys Christians, it poisons evangelism, and let's be honest, these fruits are massive. So many people affected by this that... This is not a work of God. This is the opposite. This is the work of the enemy, and people need to wake up and actually oppose what's going on.
I agree. I'm thinking back to the 1980s when we had the big scandals involving Jimmy Swaggart and Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, and how, you know, the Bakers, for example, they found the air-conditioned doghouse. And you know, and it just became such a punchline. Oh, Christians, see, all Christians want to do is scam you for your cash. That's all they're up to. When in reality, this is a very, you know, small number of people compared to the vast number of faithful people who are out there. And yet, you're right, it ruins the reputation of the church in general to the world. So it gets frustrating. What about now, for instance, we talked about some of the ways they get rich: books, DVDs, conferences, speaking, and so forth. The pastor-owned businesses, is this pretty common that they will have some additional means of getting money from the flock?
Well, the ones who really go for it will try every means they can. So one of the ways they do it is they'll have a business owned by the pastor that it's promoted to their people, often bookshops or, you know, counseling gyms, production firms, computer consulting seminars, business coaching services, supermarkets. You know, all these things, and we know some churches where the bookshop owned by the pastor and all the profits going to the pastor actually is located in the church.
Oh boy!
So you go out and there, and the first thing you do there, you see is a business and that's owned by the pastor, and across the road there's a gym, etc. It's unbelievable. It literally is turning the house of God, if you think of the church organization's church building as being the house of God, into a marketplace. It's doing exactly what Jesus was opposing there.
Now, what about the honor the pastor scam? That was something else you mentioned. What are you talking about there?
Right. Well, you need to understand that there are some cultic techniques involved here, and this is really important to understand more than, you know, honoring the pastor is interesting, but it's interesting itself because these churches, they tend to be run on these cultic patterns. One of these patterns is the division of the church into exclusive rings. You have the all-powerful pastor perched at the center, and then the inner ring of sycophants around him who are his lieutenants who do all the dirty work,
right,
and the church's privilege, you know, the rich, the famous, the very pretty, and so on. And then the mass of the outer ring, the ordinary folk who would love to be in the inner ring, but they're not. And so the inner ring people, the way they curry favor with the pastor is to, one of the ways anyway, is to say for his birthday, go to the outer ring and say, hey, let's buy him a Harley Davidson or a, I think all these guys in New Zealand have bought themselves Harley Davidsons these ways, or a luxury cruise or some luxury item, diamond rings for the wife and so on. And so they get the money from the outer ring. They give it to the they get the gift and give it to the pastor in a big surprise, as if it's a surprise to the pastor. And then what they get in return, the inner circle people, is the favor of the pastor. So the pastor basically sells his favor in return for luxury items.
It's almost like indulgences, isn't it?
Yeah, indulgences actually relate more to the idea of asking money in return for a spiritual reward.
Right.
The idea of, yeah, and that's what Martin Luther, that's why he banged those, his protests to the door. A large portion of them were about asking for money for spiritual rewards.
Exactly right. We're going to come back. Mark Frankovich from Cult Watch is with us. Incredible. Buying favor. Ah, man. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Four past the hour on the Janet Mefford Show, talking with Mark Frankovich. He is founder and director of Cult Watch. You can go to cultwatch.com and see their great work there. He's got a wonderful article out right now called How Pastors Get Rich, talking specifically about that very elite small group of pastors, relatively speaking, who are making big bucks by doing what they're doing through techniques like the multi-level marketing, selling books and DVDs and charging a lot of money for people to come to conferences, things like that. One of the things you mentioned, Mark, in this, and I know we're not going to be able to have time to go into every single thing in depth. People have to read it over at janetmefford.com. We'll post it there. But one of the things you talk about was the cathedral building wars, this idea that they've just got to have the biggest and best and most technologically, you know, up-to-date building. How big a thing is this among this group of pastors that they have to have this big, huge, fancy building?
Well, their prestige is based on how big their building is, how big their congregations are, how many great worship leaders they have, and all that sort of thing. So it's basically these people have very fragile egos. I'd say some of them are narcissists. And the issue of a narcissist, at the very core, they don't believe they exist. They need adoration. They need to be surrounded by things that make them look big. Hmm. In the same way that in a fiefdom in medieval England, the lord would build the biggest castle he could so he would look more lordly. These guys want to make to look more lordly by building the biggest buildings and that sort of thing, which, when you think about it, not only is it, you know, wrong, basically they're taxing their subjects to actually fund these massive ego-based projects. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, if you look at the percentage going to, say, the poor, to the elderly, to the people that we should be looking after, and the percentage going to these massive buildings and these other projects, the amount going to the poor is absolutely minuscule. It's just enough so they can say, oh, yes, we're doing that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In reality, that's not what they're doing.
Giving to the poor and also giving to missions. I mean, that's another big issue. How much are they giving to the cause of world missions?
Well, probably not a lot, because these guys tend to believe that there is no acceptable parachurch organizations. Everything must be under them. So they'll only do anything that actually is under their umbrella.
Gosh. So what about siphoning cash into property? This is something else you mentioned before in this article that you should check if you're a member of a church like this. Check to see who actually owns your church's property. What sorts of scams go on in this category?
They will basically what they'll do. For example, we've got one place in New Zealand where the pastors and his family own via a trust a big building, and then get this, the church is paying to rent the building from them, from this trust, and the church is paying to pay the mortgage for this building.
Oh.
It's like, and so they will take money this way, and they'll distribute it to residential property, to commercial property. We have one case with a group called Hillsong in Australia where apparently like $60 million has been siphoned off into various properties and so on by one of the leaders there.
Oh, no.
So it is a... you see, everyone, we're so trusting as Christians, but I like something I read from one of the Navy SEAL I read. He actually said, you know, trust but verify.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Trust but, yeah, go and verify just to make sure. Because think about it, if you're paying money into this thing, you're actually party to the bad fruit.
Sure you are. Sure you are.
You want to be that.
Yeah, so like if your pastor, for instance, if your pastor is making a huge amount of money and you dare to question, you should not be put down for asking. I mean, if you're paying and giving a tithe or an offering every single week, you have a right to know where that money is going, don't you?
That's right. And I don't know if you've got it down there, but we really must mention tithing because it really is one of their key aspects of how they extract cash.
Yes.
Now, a lot of Christians don't realize that tithing is not for Christians. It never was. It came in about 700 AD of the Catholic Church. They built these great big tithing barns that you can still see in Europe. They look like big stone churches with no windows, and you'd have to take your grain in, and that's how the church funded its existence. But a lot of Christians don't realize that the New Testament church did not tithe. I mean, Jesus didn't tithe. He was a carpenter. The only people who tithed were people who produced from the land in the Old Testament. They don't realize that the New Testament doesn't teach tithing for Christians. And the favorite Malachi verses that these guys use to beat Christians up with, you know, you're robbing God,
yeah,
unless you give to 10% to us, are actually part of the old Mosaic law and something that Jesus has abolished. He's completed. We're not under that law. In fact, if you tithe, in Galatians 3:10, it says, you know, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Mm. For all those who rely on observing the law, they are under a curse. And so if you tithe, if you're doing anything in the law, then you actually need to obey all the law and you're under a curse. And we've been set free from that.
Yes. Yes, and that's such an important point because somebody can willingly give 10% of his or her income,
yes,
or 15%. God loves a cheerful giver. But when you, for instance, have one of these big guys standing up in front of you saying, God wants you to give 10% to this church, you're sinning if you're not, and by the way, give us your checking account router number so we can do it more effectively, that's just a scam.
It is a scam. And they're threatening you. If you don't do this, God will curse you. So, I mean, it's the opposite of spiritual blessings. It's the carrot and the stick. It's the threat of spiritual curses that God will strike you if you don't do this. And it's completely fabricated. It's such an important issue that we have another website, tithingdebate.com, tithingdebate.com. And if you in any way think that tithing is for Christians today, just go over there, read a couple of the articles, download some of the free books, and you will be set free and able to actually give as you see fit, as the Holy Spirit and you communicate and actually decide where to give and how much to give, and you'll be set free from this oppressive false doctrine.
Yeah. Oh, good. Tithingdebate.com if people want to check out more. The carrot and the stick then. So they're dangling the carrot in front of you, but you're in trouble if you don't go for the carrot. Is that a summation of what you're trying to say?
Yeah, well, these people, they want to be, you know, they want to be both the pastors and the masters. They want to dominate and control you. I mean, three of the Gospels, Jesus says, for example, in Mark 10:42-44, you know, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them,
right,
and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. So in the world's way of thinking is completely opposite to the way that Jesus has instructed us to be. Our leaders are to be servants.
Amen.
They're not to be looked up upon, not to be almost worshipped and adored. They're people there to serve, and they should be very humble people.
Oh, I agree. And look at our master. The servant is not above our master. Look how the Lord washed his disciples' feet and gave up his life for us on the cross when he didn't have to. He was the perfect God-man that we should be following. We'll come back with Mark Rankovich talking about how pastors get rich. Stay with us. For 1 Timothy chapter 6 reminds us, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And that is really the verse that sums up what we've been talking about this hour with Mark Vrankovich, founder and director of Cult Watch. Again, you can go to cultwatch.com and find out more about what he's been saying in this great article, How Pastors Get Rich, which we'll also put on our website. Just kind of as a final wrap up, Mark, as we have a few minutes left here, for Christians who may be in a church such as what we've been describing and talking about this hour, what sorts of remedies do you propose for them to kind of get their heads on straight biblically about what they should and should not put up with?
Well, obviously, we'd suggest they read How Pastors Get Rich at cultwatch.com and also look at tithingdebate.com to really see some of the scriptures there. But they need to really start checking what the pastor says. I mean, it's got so bad these days that we've had one pastor who his way of proving things was just to slap his Bible, go, Bible is Bible. You really need to check back with Scripture on every point. Yeah. And it's your responsibility to do that. It's noble to do that.
It is. Well, what about if you walk into a church and the pastor makes you feel guilty? Should that be a red flag?
It's a red flag. I mean, obviously no one's perfect. And if you expect your church to be perfect, you're going to be disappointed. But it should not be the case that these things consistently happen and across the board. So everyone's going to make mistakes. We're not here to condemn pastors or anything like that, because it's important to realize that, you know, there are thresholds here. But you will be able to tell if you read How Pastors Get Rich, you'll be able to tell if this sort of thing is going on at the church you go to.
Oh, I completely agree, and I think everybody needs to read it more in detail. And I like, too, one of the things, we didn't have time to get into it in great detail, but another sign to watch for that you might want to keep an eye on is nepotism in your church. If your church is stacked with a big, you know, rich, wealthy pastor and his family, it may mean nothing, but it's something to take a look at.
Oh, exactly. If the church, if his relatives are in positions of power, then that's nepotism, and normally you'd choose the best people from the job. It's, you know, it's not a family business. It's a family, but it's not a business.
Yes.
And, that's a classic sign.
Yes. So really what you're calling for at the end of the day is just flat-out discernment, Berean discernment in these matters.
Absolutely. And I think I move away from relying on the leaders to actually realizing that every Christian has personal responsibility in this and other areas.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. It's just such a great read, and you will really learn a lot about how to spot some of these things. Hopefully it's not happening in your church, but you can give it to somebody you love if they are involved in something like this. The name of the article, again, is called How Pastors Get Rich. We'll put it up at our website, janetmefford.com. You can also go over to cultwatch.com and read it there, where we've been talking with Mark Vrankovich, visiting with us from New Zealand. Well, I'm so glad, Mark, we got to talk, and thank you so much for the great work you do for the Lord.
Thank you, Janet. It was fun, and God bless everyone.
Oh, you too. Thanks again. And cultwatch.com, again, is their website, and tithingdebate.com if you want to find out more about how the tithing discussion can be a bit abused sometimes by some elites out there posing as men of God. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you over at our website, janetmefford.com.